April 16th, 2024. We're in Masechet Bava Kama and Daf Kaf Daled Amud Bet. We'll pick up in a moment at the Mishnah, some 10, 11 lines before the end of the Amud. But before so, let's return for just a few more moments to the last sugya. The Gemara mentioned this halakha of HaMeshaseh Kalbo Shel Havero. If a person incites the dog of another, which in turn goes after a person, well, what's the liability of the person who's the Meshaseh, the inciter? That we know from the Mishnah Masechet Sanhedrin, Gerama Benizikin Patur, as difficult as it is for us to wrap our head around the concept. That's the halakha. It's a Gemara later on in Daf Peh, provides the makor, the sourcing for that. But that's the halakha. What about the owner of the animal? The Gemara was uncertain. It attempted two proofs. Ultimately speaking, the Gemara had an imtim selomar. If you're to say that the owner is hayav, you should know that if the insider incites the dog to go after someone and it goes after themselves, that situation, the owner would be patur. But what seems to emerge is the Gemara is open to a conversation, and ultimately speaking, in an imtim selomar, if you'll tell me, which as I told you, generally speaking, when the Gemara uses that language, that's the opinion we choose the halakha, and indeed we do so, the owner of a dog which was incited is liable. Well, that being the case, Tosafot at the very bottom, just a very short Tosafot, HaMeshaseh Kalbo Shel Havero, asks the following question. It says, Lo Dameh, without saying that it's a question, they begin and say, this is not similar to, don't compare this to, Leshor HaItztadin, deciding from later on Daf Lametet, Shor HaItztadin is a circumstance where an animal is a stadium animal. It's a bull which is incited to go after a person to kill the person. And if indeed it does so and kills. What's the halakha? The Gemara makes clear from the pasuk of ki gah shor ish. The pasuk says ki gah, which means that the animal on its own volition, on its own will and desire, gores another. Veloshi yagihu achirim. And not that he's incited and brought forth to that by others. Tosafot in turn is a little bit disturbed. How come our Gemara didn't right away say, of course the owner of the animal is exempt. Everybody's off the hook. After all, this animal was incited by an external force. It should be just like Shor HaItztadin. Over there, if the animal was incited by an external force, a person or whatever it is, in such a circumstance, the halakha is the owner of the animal is not liable. Lo dameh, says Tosafot, leShor HaItztadin. Why not? SheHaAdam Nilham imo lehorgo. Suggest Tosafot the distinction, the difference is over there, the person is standing in the ring, is in the stadium together with that bull, with that animal. The person who ultimately speaking, lo alenu, gets killed is a part of the instigation itself. The person in that circumstance is fighting with it. He plays a role in, so to speak, his own death. That's Tosafot's suggestion for distinguishing between our Gemara and Shor HaItztadin. Briefly, there's a little bit of a difficulty in the Tosafot.
Who's obligated Shor HaItztadin?
Nobody.
Nobody at all.
Ki gach v'lo shiyagihu acherim. Nobody's liable. That's why Tosafot is bothered.
But the owner is putting the animal in the ring.
That's why Tosafot had difficulty with that. Tosafot therefore resolves it and says, even though the owner of the animal put it in, nonetheless, since the man is part of or is the source of instigation, therefore the owner is patur.
But if you say this, most of the time that person wasn't going in on his own.
So based on your historical analysis, Tosafot's reality is different than yours. That's Tosafot is talking about. The person is fighting with it. That's the suggestion. The truth is, this Tosafot, though, is a little bit difficult, and it takes a longer conversation, because our final lines of the Gemara, which I was just referring to, im timseh lomar, even if you're going to tell me that if you incite the animal, the owner of the animal is hayav, nonetheless, if the insider himself got hurt, then it's patur. That was a statement of Rav Papa. And he brought proof for it. You should know this, that was a statement of Rava. Rav Papa said, guess what, Rava? You have good company. Resh Lakish. Resh Lakish was talking about the squatting animal and the standing animal and the kicking and the trampling over. And we stumbled, no pun intended, over that case. Why didn't the Gemara quote this? This is perfect evidence. This is a difficulty that Haronim have in Tosafot. If Tosafot is saying that the case over there, the reason why the owner of the animal is not liable is because the instigator himself is the one who got killed, that would have been perfect evidence for kol ha-mishaneh uba'aher v'shinabo. Any person who does something, so to speak, atypical, and then an atypical thing happens to them in return for that specifically, well, then you're patur. But Tosafot, but the Gemara doesn't cite that. It's a little bit of a difficulty in the Tosafot. On this page, doctor?
Yeah. I just have a question. Let's say someone brought a korban to the Beit HaMikdash, and the animal, whoever's slaughtering it,
well, over there, what are we dealing with? We're dealing with Kedin.
The person is coming to slaughter the animal to kill the animal.
Which the owner asked the Kohen to do so. So we're not calling that inciting, per se.
But he's coming to kill the animal. If an animal, it's sort of saying like the animal's killing itself.
Right. So what are we asking? In such a circumstance where... doesn't need to be a korban. It could be any time you brought an animal to be slaughtered, and the animal revolts against the slaughterer, and the animal was owned by a person. You want to know if, in such a circumstance, that person needs Eid Miklat, for example.
Well, also with the Mikdash, is it not?
Oh, the animal wants it killed. Oh, because it's in self-defense, so it's not shor haniskalim.
No, he's
asking because it came to kill him. All right, I'm not certain. It sounds like based on the articulation of Tosafot and your extension, it should be kosher. What's that? Gerama means it's indirect cause. Yes. Okay. Well, Nimukei Yosef here on the page in front of you addresses this issue specifically, that of Tosafot. If you take a look at Nimukei Yosef, and as much as Alan praised my printer yesterday, it is a little bit out of ink, but it's a little bit harder to read. If you look at the top of the Amud, the very top of the Amud, for whatever reason, my scanning was not great. I'm sorry. The very top line, do you need? You'll listen? The very top line of Nimukei Yosef, which of course found in the back of the Gemara. So it appears as if what you're looking at over here is like Tosafot. It says very, very top line, two words before the end of the line. It's Nimukei Yosef. V'ikashyalan. And if you'll have a difficulty, Mai shena mishor ha'itzdadin. Now, what's the difference between Hamishaset Kalbo from, again, our Shor HaItzdadin, the Gemara and Daflamitet, De Amrinan Lekaman, Shepatur, Dikhtiv Ki Igach, Velo Shiyagihu Ahirim. Same question as Tosafot. V'yesh Lomar, Deshane Shor HaItzdadin, Shehu Ragil Harbe Bekach, Ve'en Bo Da'at Kelal, Ela Shenogeach Derech Tarbuto, כל זמן שמשסין בו כפי מה שהרגילוהו. אבל כלב שיש בו דעת וכמה פעמים שמשסין אותו ואינו נושך, לקל ממה שיגח ולא שיגיחו אחרים הרעה זו. The first approach of Nimukei Yosef, he quotes from Rabbeinu Aharon HaLevi, known as Ra'a, one of the great Chachmei Sefarad, and it's to a certain extent, and this is what I said, addresses what Nathan was touching on the first moment we started addressing this Gemara, and that is, he distinguishes between this Shor HaItzdadin and a Kelev HaMeshaseh. And the suggestion goes as follows. A Shor HaItzdadin, the stadium animal, the stadium bull, it's certain that it will attack and kill. It's so instigated, I'll say, you know, they put it in a narrow confine, they didn't feed it well, they trained it to see colors and to attack in those circumstances. You're so certain, we say the animal, even though we always say animals in Bahim Dat, we say this animal is literally a robot. This animal is completely out of control. That's where the Torah says, well, if the complete out of control animal goes after, we're not putting that on the owner per se. It was completely trained to that. Says Ra'a, but that's different than Kelev HaMeshaseh. Kelev HaMeshaseh, although upon being instigated, at times, maybe even often, it'll attack, we still say there was a chance over here. There is a circumstance where we can attribute the own animal's mind being injected to this, which will trace back to the owner. In other words, Ra'ah's approach is that in one case, the Torah says, ki yigah, so to speak, it needs to be the volition, the will of the animal that you don't have by the stadium. By dogs, even though it was incited, still, you know, I can bug you a lot. It doesn't mean you're going to go wild. Sometimes you will, other times you won't. No different, not you, but me, than a dog. Well, sometimes yes, sometimes no. What's that? Mishaseh means to incite. But yes, the kelev is more domestic than the short ha'itzdadim.
So it has to be a trained dog, because if you go back to Michael Vick days, he trained dogs to kill.
If it's a trained dog like a short ha'itzdadim, like the football player, yes, indeed, it would be so. Four lines from the top in Nimukei Yosef, he gives another approach. He says, Amar ha-mehaber ve-katav ha-ritva azal. Writes Nimukei Yosef, myself and Ritva, another one of the Chachmei Sefarad, gave a different answer. De shora itzdadin de patur haynu mimita, aval leshalem nizakin efshar de hayav. The suggestion goes as follows. Shora itzdadin, which the Torah says, according to our understanding, the owner is not liable, that's to putting the animal to death. We don't put the animal to death. We say the animal was trained to do that, so to speak. Are you really going to put it to death? It didn't do it on its own. Does that mean that under circumstances you're not liable to pay for damages? You don't need to pay for reparation? We never said that. On Daf Lamitet, where we say, ki yigah, when it gores, ve'lo shiyagihu achirim, and not that others caused it to gore, that means that we don't put the animal to death. That's the mitah. Nizakin? To pay, which is what we're addressing in our sugya? All right, that's a question. That's what we're talking about. Hameshaseh kalbo shel achirim. So two approaches here in Nimukei Yosef. The first from Ra'ah. We have to assess the situation. How trained is the animal? How much is it in motion to attack without any thought? Or alternatively, we never said you're exempt from damages. Continues, velinira dehashor hahu hu anus. She'eno menageh al yedei shisui levad. Ela al yedeh shemesa'arin oto she'en bo da'at ve'eno kemo ha'kelev desagile b'shisui kanal, says Nimukei Yosef, along the lines of Ra'ah, he says that shor, we look at it like it's anus, it's out of its control, it's so inspired by others to attack. Under such circumstances, you say that the animal is owner is not liable. So we have three approaches effectively to this question of how to distinguish it. Maybe we'll return to it in some way or fashion when we get to Daf Lametet with regards to Shor HaIstadin versus HaMeshaseh Kelim. Either, as Tosafot writes, is the person involved directly, the person who got killed, who got damaged with the instigation? Is the animal so instigated to the extent that it's incited and can't think differently? Or thirdly, who said we were exempting from damage? We were only saying that you don't kill the animal. All right, we're going to...
The owner of the, let's say, the boat, he puts him into the ring.
Yep.
At that point, he knows that he's going to gore.
Mm-hmm.
So he's responsible or not responsible?
Not responsible. That's what the Gemara is saying, but not responsible.
Not responsible.
That's what we're accepting. That's how we're understanding it. Tosafot has a claim that even so, it's only because the person who's fighting against it is instigating. But the others have no issue with that.
Saying the guy who's instigating shouldn't be there.
He's getting paid for it.
You see, for example, the Mishnah must say, you know, the instigation doesn't change anything because the inciting is Gerama. I know, as much as we don't like that. Yeah.
They're opening themselves at risk when they go into the ring.
Yeah, that's...
What about the assistant, not the actual inciting?
Yeah. So for Tosafot, the assistant, you would be Hayah for. For the others,
you'd...
But he's not instigating. Tosafot has it only as being inciting. Yeah. All right, the next Mishnah here brings us back to a concept which at this point, I assume, I hope, is already near and dear to our hearts, and that is, Shortam Birshut HaNizak. which means to say the Torah makes clear that when we're dealing with regel and shin, the trampling or the beneficial damage of an animal to another person's property, the only time they're obligated to pay, and they pay at that 100%, is when it's bisteacher. If my animal enters onto your property, eats or tramples on it, I pay 100%. If you left it out in the public thoroughfare, certainly if you brought it onto my property, I'm patur 100%. What about everything? That's great. What about nigiha? What about what's called kerin? Well, on the one hand, we know that kerin, there's an obligation even when it's in a public area. If my animal attacks yours out on the street, I'm obligated to pay half. What happens if my animal does so on your property? My animal enters into your yard and attacks your cat, goes after your dog. What's the halakha in such a circumstance? Well, certainly half. Is there more than half? After all, when it came to shen and regel, birshut hanizak, you're paying 100%. When it comes to kerin, birshut hanizak, it's the way we use those words, the goring, the action which we call abnormal, the kicking, the biting without benefit, how much do you pay birshut hanizak? Avi already knows, mahloker bitarfon and hachamim, this is the Mishnah. Here's where it all stems from. We've mentioned it, we've talked about it, we've touched upon it. Here's where it comes from. This Mishnah begins, Shor Hamazik Bershut HaNizak. There are the words. It's really hearkening back to the Mishnah all the way back on Daf Tet Vav Amud Bet, where the Mishnah seemed to suggest that it's Mu'ad, you're paying 100%. Kesad, describe it for me. First and foremost, what does it mean, Kerin? What's a Toladav Kerin? What's the Av? What's the derivative? Nagach. If the animal gores with its horns. Nagaf, if it pushes with its body. Nashach, if it bites but doesn't eat. Doesn't eat. Ravat, if it sits, it squats and breaks by so doing. Ba'at, if it kicks and breaks. All of those are what we call kerin. We call those mishune. We say that those are kavanato lehazik. Animals don't just want to damage. Animals damage in abnormal, atypical situations. Animals have purposes why they do things. To get somewhere, they walk. To benefit, they eat, they scratch. These actions, somewhat abnormal, we call it kerin. Now, birshut harabim, if it happened in the public area, my animal did any of those sorts of actions, pashut. Everybody agrees, pesukim in the Torah, hatzi nezek, you're paying half. That's what's clear, and of course, if you did it three times, it gets established as a short mu'ad, and then you pay 100%. What about if it's birshut hanizak? What about if this takes place on your property? I let my dog into your front yard, your backyard. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Nezek Shalem. There's the opinion of Rabbi Tarfon. In all of its glory, you pay 100% damage. Hachamim Omrim? Absolutely not. Whoever heard of Kerin prior to three times being Nezek Shalem? Hatzi Nezek, period. Says Rabbi Tarfon to the Hachamim, but you want to hear my logic? It's what's called a very simple and famous mechanism, Kalva Homer. Amar lahem Rabbi Tarfon, says Rabbi Tarfon, let's pay attention to this. Uma b'makom shehekel al hashen ve'al haregel b'rshut rabim shu patur, hihmira lahem b'rshut hanizak l'shalem nezik shalem. It says, well, let's pit up against each other and analyze shen and regel on one side and kerin on the other side. Shin and regel out in Rishut Harabim, how much do they pay? Zero. Kerin Rishut Harabim, how much do you pay? Half. Which means when I compare these two, one to the other, which one's more hamur, which one's more severe? Kerin. Now, shin and regel, when they enter into Rishut HaNizak, how much do they pay? 100%. You're going to tell me kerin, which you just established, is more severe than shin and regel, pays less in Rishut HaNizak than shin and regel? So I say, Amar lahem Rabbi Tarfon, some 6-7 lines from the bottom, Uma b'makom shehekel, hekel means kal, where you were lenient, al hashen ve'al haregel, on the cases of shen, beneficial damage, trampling damage, regel, birshut harabim shu patur, you're entirely exempt if your animal tramples someone else's stuff or eats from it or scratches itself on it. Yechmira lehem birshut hanizak, the pasuk in the Torah says, b'stei acher, there's a humrah, there's a severity, a full 100%, l'shalem nezek shalem, you pay liability when you went into someone else's property. Makom shechmira lehakerin birshut harabim l'shalem hatzi nezek, now telling me, which everybody agrees, you guys agree, rabbis, hachamim, the Torah told me, you pay b'rshut harabim kerin. It might be hatzi nezek, eno din. Din over here means logic. When we say enonshin min hadin, we mean logic. You mean kal vachomer. Is it not logical? Does it not stand to law? In other words, is the logical deduction not so? Shenachmira alav b'reshut hanizak, that it should be bumped up when I'm in reshut hanizak, when I'm on someone else's property with my animal, l'shalem nezek shalem. That's the claim of Rabbi Tarfon. How do the Chachamim respond to that? Amru lo. It's all here. Yes. No, no, we just don't learn capital punishment. We just don't learn death penalties and things of that sort. Money? Yeah. Although, don't forget, we did address this issue in the Tosafot at the very beginning of the Masechet. Tosafot, we'll return to it not one last time, we'll do this 100 times. Tosafot, the fourth one on Daf Bet Amud Aleph. Tosafot, ve'lo ze ve'ze she'esh ben ruach ha'im kahare ha'esh. Tosafot, four lines from the bottom, right in the middle of the line, right next to the Rabbi Akiva Eger's marking. You see, uksat kashe, and it's difficult a little from our Mishnah, because the first Mishnah says, lo hare hashur kare habor, and says, this one's not like that one, which means to say, had they been similar, I would have learned laws one from the other. It says Tosafot, de'onshin mamon min hadin. It sounds like that we're punishing, and that's what I said to you just a moment ago. Matter of factly, we do so. And says Tosafot, it's not so simple. Ubimechiltin Tanya, we have a beraita later on. Ki iftach v'chi yichre, im ala petiha hayav ala kiriya lo kol sheken el lamedcha, shenon shin mamon min hadin. And says Tosafot, but you have a beraita, which seems to tell me that even on monetary payments, enon shin min hadin. Tosafot resolves this issue. The simple and it's really the technicalities they're dealing with is we do say with regards to monetary payment onshin min hadin. You and I or all of us can get into this on a greater level, but that needs to be our running assumption because that's what Tosafot says. That derasha which is in the beraita, the derasha in the beraita is if you dig the hole or you uncover the hole, you're obligated for bor. The question is quite simple. If you uncover the hole, you're liable. Certainly, if you dug the hole, it says the beraita, to teach you en onshin mamon min hadin. It says Tosafot, but we have a beraita, another beraita, which has a different derasha, a different answer to that question. Oh, according to that other answer to the question, clearly we opened up the possibility that onshin mamon min hadin, which is what we're working with, again, from our first Mishnah through the Masechet, without getting more technical than that. But, yes, sir.
Does it matter if the animal is invited onto the property or if it went on its own volition?
What's the difference? Oh, in other words, you invited it onto your property?
Yeah, you invited people with their animals and then did it versus it just came on the property.
Yeah, of course. I mean, if I invited you onto my property, but I said you can't eat anything from the property? In other words, if you invited me into your property with my animal, but if you invited your animal onto my property, if you invited my animal onto your property, what are you going to tell me? You're going to tell me in such a circumstance you were expecting this not to happen. You invited this to happen. You needed me to be, it's like Reshut Rabim now. Now it's Reshut Lishnehem. And such as, it's only when I wasn't invited on. Well, says Rabbi Tarfon back to, so that's Rabbi Tarfon's claim to say the Chachamim back to him, Amru lo dayo leba min hadin lehiot katnidon. A famous response of the Chachamim, which we'll spend some lines in the Gemara dealing with. And it goes as follows. The word dai means sufficient, enough. There's a cute story in my family. That's right, dayenu. Okay, that's, I guess, sufficient. You don't need the cute story. But this cute story my mother likes to tell. My mother has a very close friend. They made aliyah. They moved to Israel some 30, 40 years ago. The child came back from school in the first week and said, I have a problem with my teacher in the gun. What's the problem with the teacher? I think she wants me to die. What do you mean wants you to die? I don't know, everything I do, she keeps saying to me, die, die, die. And the mother, of course, you know. So anyway, dayo means sufficient, enough, die. It's an Israeli type of thing. Die, die, nu tafsikvar. Anyway, die. So dayo means it's enough. Like dayenu, enough. Dayo leba min hadin lihiyot kenidon, which means to say the following. Say the Chachamim, how are we really deriving this? Well, if it's like this, then it for sure should be that. It goes like this. You're taking internally keren. You're saying keren, when it's in Reshut Rabim, is half. And that shows me that it's very severe. So certainly when it's in Reshut HaNizak, it should be, well, what should it be? All I know is it should be half. That's right, at least half, but I can't go further than that. Dayol bamin hadin, it's sufficient, and I can't go further for the item, for the reality which is being learned from the din, from the logic, lihiyot, just to be just like kanidon, from the thing that's teaching it. Right? In other words, I'm teaching, I'm learning from the source, the goring in Rashut HaRabim, half. You're going to transfer that over to this case where it's in Rashut HaNizak, half. You can't go higher than that. What's that?
You can't go lower.
And as a result, according to the Chachamim, you can't distinguish. No. You can't go higher. Correct. Now, the Gemara, we'll just mention if... What's that? But dayol bamin adin liyot kenidon. That's it. We cap it. We say we'll learn it. The derasha which the Chachamim and the Bitafon are going to argue about, we'll see it very soon. Just not today. It looks like in the Gemara is from the case at the end of Parashat Be'ha'alotecha. What happens is Miriam speaks lashon hara about Moshe Rabbeinu, and as a result, there's a proclamation, a declaration from God, 7 days outside of the camp with Sarat, and then she could return. Why? God tells us the reason. He told Moshe the reason. He says to him, if her father, Yarok Yarak, if her father publicly embarrassed her, Haloti Kalim, Shivat Yamim, wouldn't she be hiding away, hiding her face 7 days? Therefore, Miriam needs to be 7 days outside of the camp. One second. Father versus Borei Olam. Borei Olam should be double, says the Gemara, says the Beraita. 14 at least. Tosafot says, where do you even get to 14? It should be more than 7, but it's not the words of God. God says 7. You want to know why? Dayo, leba min hadin, liyot kanidon. Where are we learning from? What's the source? The Father. What are we transferring it to? Yes, someone, who, some being much greater, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but nothing more than 7, exactly the same. That's the counter of the Chachamim to Rabbi Tarfon.
But that's not the logic Rabbi Tarfon is using.
Hold.
He's using the logic of,
I know. As what? As shin and regel. Yes. Good point. Okay. Give it a second. Right. But again, the response of the Chachamim is you're internally within Kedin. What Judah is saying is it's not really internally within Kedin. You have another factor, shin and regel. Okay, but if you're telling me that we're making some sort of kal vachomer, including with it the logic of shin and regel, so then shouldn't hang tight. Amru lo, the Chachamim respond to Rabbi Tarfon, Dayol ba min adin liyot kenidon, ma bereshut harabim hatzi nezek, the same way everyone agrees, keren bereshut harabim is half, af bereshut hanizak hatzi nezek. Judah, here you go. Amar lahem responds, Judah Waba, here you go. He needs the credit, needs the credit. In Judah Shimel's absence, Judah Waba, you are shining. Amar lahem, af ani lo adun keren mikeren. Respond to Rabbi Tarfon exactly as you argued, Judah. It says, I wasn't learning per se keren from keren. I wasn't just saying that I'll learn keren in the public areas half. If you bring it into the private area, ooh, then it's 100. No, don't do it like that at all. Don't pay attention to keren and Shut Rabbim at all. Okay, don't pay attention to that. Let's just pay attention to shin and regel. Shin and regel in the public area is 0. Shin and regel in the private area is 100%. Keren, I'll say, keren is going to be, if I compare it to shin and regel, well, I already know it's more severe than shin and regel because in the public area, it's half when there's 0. If I transfer it now into the private area, it should be 100%. No, it's great. It's not greater than anything. It's equivalent, the same as... Are you giving me a logic for disagreeing? I want it just within the kal vachomer. Says that, but maybe on a private property, who cares if it's an aberration? Who cares? I like the word. Who cares if it's a funny? Is that how they translate it in general? Mishune, that's a gorgeous word. He's starting to sound like me. Nobody's going to understand you soon. Anyway, says the Mishnah, lo adun keren mi keren. Ani adun, excuse me, sorry, again, so amar lahem, af ani lo adun keren mikeren. I'm not learning keren from keren. Ani adun keren miregel. Uma b'makom shehekel al hashen ve'al haregel b'shut rabim. In the public area, shen and regel, 0. Yehmir b'keren. Well, there's something that you're paying for keren. I don't care how much. You're paying something. Happens to be half. Well, now bring it to the private area. Makom sheyehmir al hashen v'al haregel b'shut hanizak. Now you're telling me in the private area, b'shut hanizak, shen and regel pay 100%. Eno din shenahmir b'keren? Oh, so that's the counter of Rabbi Tarfon. I accept, says Rabbi Tarfon, for argument's sake, as Tosafot points out, this concept of dayo, cap it at some. I don't need a cap it over here. And I'll tell you why. Because my capping, my highest point is 100%. It's Shen and Ege.
1.5.
Right. So Rabbi Tarfon says, I won't go up to 1.5. I won't go up to 150. I won't, because dayo l'baminadin liyot kinidon. But what's the nidon? It's Shen and Ege. Amru lo... Dayo leba min hadin lihiot kanidon ma bereshut rabim hatzi nezek af bereshut hanizak hatzi nezek. The Chachamim again respond to say, I understand what you're saying, but ultimately speaking, you have to Rashi sof sof ilav kerim bereshut rabim la mishka hatzad kalva homer. This kalva homer doesn't begin unless you pay attention to Kerin Bereshut HaRabim. Don't forget that. You can't just say, let's compare Kerin and Shin and Regel. Okay, Kerin and Shin and Regel. What do I know about Kerin? Well, what about Bereshut HaRabim? I don't know anything about Bereshut HaRabim. What do you mean you don't know? I know, but I can't talk about that. What do I know about Shin and Regel and Bereshut HaRabim? 100%, 0%. How much is Shin and Regel in Bereshut HaNizak? 100%. What am I going to do with Kerin? The only way I can compare Kerin to Shin and Regel is by first establishing how much you pay in the public area. It means it's part of the equation. So yes, Jesse, everybody agrees you have the same ingredients over here. You have Keren and Reshut HaRabim, and you have Shen and Regel Reshut HaRabim versus Reshut HaNizak. How do you determine this? Do you take the Judah approach to Rabbi Tarfon? You say, well, listen, ultimately speaking, my major contributor over here is Shen and Regel in inspiring this, and as a result, I'll bring it up to 100%. Or do you say the Chachamim? That's my major contributor, but I also needed to take into account Keren and Reshut HaRabim, where it's zero, where it's half. And it's the only reason I know that it's more severe than Shen and Regel. If that's the case, that's also the Nidon, and therefore I can't make it higher than half. That's what the Gemara tells us, and that's what the Mishnah tells us. And as I mentioned, you could even just quickly glance into the Gemara. The sourcing for this is from that difficult to understand story of Miriam, where we have the 7 days seclusion parallel to the father, even though we're dealing with Borei Olam. We'll address that further tomorrow. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen. Amen.